Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the back of your bulletin. There's a number of different things going on. I know there's information about a Sunday school mom's devotional that will be happening during the Sunday school hour down in the basement. There's also, Nick, I believe it will be starting up a father's Bible study with dinner. So there's information about that, and then there's also other information about some of the area events that are happening with some of the other churches and things that they have invited us to participate in as well. So please take note of all those announcements. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? There are other announcements. If not, then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
A people holy to the Lord our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that pursuing what you have promised, we may share your heavenly glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. You may be seated.
Dear Lord,
Our first lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1 through 8, we'll read responsively. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him. Then I called upon the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought very low, and he helped me. For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Our second lesson is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great is a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? A fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who were ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Thank you for coming up. Want to just have a seat right here? How are y'all girls doing this morning? Good. I have a bag here this morning. Hi, girls. Can you tell me what's in the bag?
Something.
What? Oh, very good. Something. That's pretty broad, something.
A block.
A what?
A block.
A block. Could be. Hard to tell, isn't it? It's kind of hard to tell by just looking at the bag. If you take it and feel what's in the bag, you can smush it. You want to feel what's in it?
Like a rectangle, and then like...
Just squash it. You can't hurt it. Kind of like a rectangle, huh? You want to feel it? You want to feel it? No? Yeah? Can you feel it? So you still can't really tell what's in the bag, can you? Can't tell by looking at it. You can't tell by feeling it. Well, what happens if we open the bag? I think we would find out what's in it. Let's see if we can open the bag. It's my old glasses. Okay? But we couldn't tell until we opened the bag, could we? All right. In today's gospel story that Pastor Tim just read us, Jesus asked the disciples a question just like the one I ask you. Only instead of asking the disciples what's in the bag, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Anybody remember the answers the disciples gave? Yes, Gwen? They said he might be a prophet. They said he might be John the Baptist. They said he might be Elijah. And that's what other people thought Jesus might be. But a lot of those people really didn't know very much about Jesus. They hadn't spent much time with Jesus. So just like we didn't really know what was in the bag when we couldn't look inside, those people didn't know who Jesus was. But then Jesus asked disciples, who do you think I am? And what did the disciple Peter say? Yes, Miss Gwen.
You're the Messiah.
You're the Messiah. You are the Christ. Because the disciples had spent a whole lot of time with Jesus and they learned from him, they knew who Jesus was. Today's story is a good reminder to us that learning the answer to the question, who is Jesus, is not something we learn quickly or from a distance. It takes time to learn about Jesus. How are some ways that we can learn about Jesus? Yes, ma'am.
Pray, go to church, go to Sunday school, read the Bible.
Read the Bible is another very good, all of those are good ways. Yes, ma'am. Yes. There are lots of ways that we can learn more about Jesus every day, and we will get to know him better. And that's what all of y'all are doing here this morning by being right here beside me. When we do these things, we are being like the disciples who learned about Jesus by learning from him. The more we learn about Jesus from Jesus, the more we learn how to receive and share God's love, just like Jesus did. Can you fold your hands and we'll say a prayer? I'll say a prayer. Dear God, who teaches and shows us how to receive and share your love, help us to keep learning from him and about him. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much for coming up.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. She first saw it at the county fair. There was a presentation being made, and there it was, the kitchen miracle. It could slice, it could dice, it could puree, it could mix, it could blend, it could make French fries, it could make coleslaw, it could mix a cake. It can even grind meat. At first, she was a bit skeptical, but then she got caught up with that presentation. Soon enough, she was pulling out her checkbook, and the kitchen miracle was hers. A week later, she was coming into the kitchen for breakfast, and it hit her. The kitchen miracle. She had left it in the trunk. A whole week, she thought, some miracle. I didn't even think about it anymore. We get caught up a lot of times in the hype, the presentation. Maybe it's a sale, maybe an auction, maybe commercials, maybe in print, maybe from politicians, maybe from party policies, maybe from who knows what else, a friend. We get caught up in the excitement of it. It sounds so good. But how many times have we been burned? How many times did it really didn't matter whether or not we bought into it or not? We've learned over the years to be somewhat skeptical, to look at something a little bit more critically before we jump right in there, because we have been sold bad goods before. The things that we chose did not turn out to be the way that they were advertised or the way they were presented or the way they were argued to be. How many times in the last few years have we heard the term fake news? We're being bombarded all the time with information. How much of it is real? How much of it is made up? How much of it is just to present a point? We're hit with many different directions, with many controversial stuff, many stuff that is inconsistent. So what do we believe? What can we believe? And so we are a bit skeptical in what's going on. And so what about our faith? What about this story of Jesus Christ? Do we bring that same skepticism into our faith? Do we bring it to this story of Jesus Christ? Several weeks ago, as we were reading the gospel lesson, there was a story in there
where Jesus was talking about, "He is the bread of life. Eat my body, drink my blood." And there were many followers who were following Jesus at that point. But when Jesus said that, when he started teaching about that, many of the followers said, "This teaching is too hard." And they turned around and they walked away. They left Jesus. And Jesus turned to his 12 disciples and he says, "Are you going to leave me too?" And it was Peter then who piped up and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Where do we make a decision? How do we know what is real? Do we truly believe in this story of Jesus Christ? And much of it is very believable. Very much of it we take in wholeheartedly. We believe in Christ who went to the cross for our salvation. We believe in Christ who rose from the dead. We can believe the stories where he walked on the water, or where he cured the lame man, or where he healed the blind, or even when he raised the widow's son, or when he raised Lazarus. We believe those stories. We don't bring our skepticism so much into those stories. But look at this story right here for today. Look at this gospel story for today. In Mark's gospel, this is a turning point. This is a pivot point in Mark's gospel. Up until this time, the stories have been about Jesus out and about the northern part of Israel, proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. He's been teaching, he's been preaching, he's been showing the signs and wonders, he's been healing, he's been casting out demons, he's been talking with people. He's been presenting that kingdom of God and saying, it is near, it is at hand. Well, at this point, it truly is at hand, because it's from this point on that Jesus leaves that northern part of Israel and starts heading towards Jerusalem. He starts heading towards that main mission of what Jesus came to do, to complete that plan of salvation for humankind, for what God sent him into this world to do, which was to suffer many things, be rejected by the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, to be executed, and to rise again for salvation. That is where he's heading to do. And so that's where his focus is from this point on in Mark's gospel. That's what he's focused on. And so it comes to be a pivotal point here. And so Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" He wants to know, are they with him? And they answer, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. They all believe in Jesus. They all believe that he has been sent by God. All those answers believe that he is sent by God. But then it is Peter who makes that definitive answer. "You are the Messiah." And so what does that mean? Jesus starts to explain it, of what must happen, that he must suffer many things, that he is now heading towards Jerusalem, that he will be rejected by the religious leaders, that he will be killed, and on the third day he will rise again. But this didn't fit Peter's expectations. Peter is skeptical about this. Peter does not want to believe this can happen, that Jesus would undergo these things. It doesn't make sense. It didn't fit his worldview of who the Messiah should be. He just claimed Jesus to be the Messiah, sent from God. But this does not fit what Jesus was telling him. How can the Son of God be rejected? How can he be killed? How can he be tortured? It did not fit. And so that skepticism enters into Peter's faith. And he tells Jesus, "Jesus, you can't do this. This doesn't work. We won't let this happen to you. This is nonsense. This is crazy talk. This is not the way the Son of God is supposed to handle things." Jesus turns around and says, "Get behind me, Satan." So do we believe this story? Are we willing to follow Jesus? Because here's where it gets really tough. This is where the rubber hits the road, is what Jesus says next. He called the crowd with his disciples and he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." This is a challenge. This is the very hard challenge. And that's why I ask the question, do we truly believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah? When Jesus spoke these words, to take up your cross, the only context that people had of a cross was the Roman cross. And that Roman cross was a gruesome thing because the Roman cross was on the edges of town, usually, on the main highways, where everybody could see as they came into this Roman stronghold, would be crucifixions, would be people either dying or dead on that cross. It was a very gruesome symbol. It wasn't a piece of jewelry around your neck. It wasn't a piece of wood that you put on your wall. It wasn't the thing that you have on the top of church steeples. It had none of that symbolism. The only symbolism it had was as a victim or as a symbol of torture and murder. That's what it was. And so when Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me," you can imagine the shock. You can imagine what went through those minds of those disciples and that crowd as they heard those words. We're supposed to be executed. We're supposed to be tortured. We're supposed to be killed. Being a Christian is not easy. It is not easy to be a Christian because we have to make decisions every day. Hopefully, we will never have to make that decision whether I am ready to give up my life completely. There are Christians across the world who are doing that today. But there's other questions. There's other times that we make decisions. Am I willing to take up my cross? Now, this cross is not something that's put upon us. That cross is something that we willingly take on. Such as, are you willing to be ridiculed by a crowd because of your beliefs? Are you willing to be ostracized by your friends because of your beliefs? Are you willing to give up things you love to do in order to worship God? Are you willing to open your mouth and possibly be rejected if you tell the story of how God has affected your life? We are called to take up that cross and follow Jesus. Sometimes it's not easy. Another story of Jesus was when he was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the second commandment is just as great. Love your neighbor as yourself." And that's what it means to take up our cross, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. To throw our whole selves into our faith. And the way we do that is by loving those around us. To love those who are closest to us. But also to love those we don't even know yet. That's what it means to take up your cross. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to take up your cross in order to help someone else, to keep them safe, to keep them protected, or to help them along the way, to help them with a recovery, to help them in a time of need? Are you willing to give up your time? Are you willing to use your skills? Are you willing to give up some of your possessions? Being a Christian is not easy. And God knows this, because that is exactly why He sent His Son into the world. Because He knew
that we would fail, that we are not perfect in our faith, that we cannot perfectly love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We can't do it. We strive to do it, but we just can't do it. And so he does send his son into this world, who would suffer many things, who would be rejected by the religious leaders, who would be executed on a cross, and who on that third day would rise again, assuring us of our salvation. We believe that. We believe that without skepticism. And so Jesus calls to us, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him, and our hearts are sealed with the promise of the Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Revealing God, you have made yourself known through bread and wine, water and word. Continue to nurture your church, that it is a place where your presence is experienced and shared. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, you brought life into being and called it good. Bring new creation to lands devastated by tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires, and other disasters. Make your presence known and restore hope to those devastated by disaster. Lord, in your mercy. Protecting God, as we reflect on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, we pray that people may turn from hatred and evil ideology. Empower and embolden us to bring the light of your forgiveness and salvation through the death and resurrection of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who cry to you for help and healing, forgiveness and restoration, guidance and comfort, may find your grace sufficient for their need. Especially we lift before you Warner and Anna Barth, David Lossman, Lynn Magura, Laura and Galen Kaiser, Philip Hafling, Joyce Lampert, Catherine Brown, Aggie Arnold, Nicholas Riccio, the unborn child of Bethany and Dakota Pompa, and the families of Dorothy Hester and Cindy Lightsey. Lord, in your mercy. Remembering God, you accompany your people through every stage of life. We give you thanks for the saints who now rest in your embrace. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in the divine love.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is On Our Way Rejoicing. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.